This is Vrindavan Mahimamrita class, December 28th, 2011, Srila Prabhupada Saraswati. We're discussing the enchantment of the love land of play, various verses describing some beautiful aspects of Vrindavan. It's from chapter 17, verse 49. Kuru Saklamadharman Muncha Sarvam Svadharamam Tyajagurum api vrindaranya vasanavru rodhat satava paramadharma satchabhaktir garunam sakhila kalasha rashir yadiva santarai. Of course, this is an extraordinary statement here. We are not endorsing these words. And I don't want anyone quoting me reading this translation. It said, Maharaj said, I did not say this, what I'm about to say. I'm about to say it, but I didn't say it. I'm about to say it, and I didn't say it. And these are the words of someone else, which I'm simply repeating. And this translation at least says this. And we have another translation also. He says, our well-wisher, who is fanatically attached, the basic bottom line is, Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. When you get out of the train in Mathura, the rickshaw wallahs will be lined up there, trying to elicit your patronship, that you enter their rickshaw, and they'll say, Vrindavan, 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 Vrindavan. They want you to get in a rickshaw and go to Vrindavan. And they will say it three times, Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. So this is what Prabhupada Saraswati basically says, drop everything, leave everything, move to Vrindavan, chant Hare Krishna. That's his basic message in 3,000 verses. Repeats the same thing over and again. Even if one has to indulge in many irreligious activities, sakalam adharmam, give up his occupational duties, Swadharma Tyaj, or give up the service of his spiritual master, Guru Tyaj, in order to reside in Vrindavan, one should simply do it. For this is the actual religious principle and devotion to the spiritual master. Everything else is useless. Now, this book is being distributed in Russia, and Russian devotees are reading this verse and saying, that's right. I should simply do it. My spiritual master wants me to stay in Moscow and distribute books, but the actual religious principle, if I'm really devoted to my spiritual master, I'll get a plane ticket to Vrindavan and go there and spend my life doing bhajan, because everything else is useless. I read it in the Shastras. It's bona fide. Bye, Gurudev. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nadgati katopi. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is disagreeing with Prabhupada Saraswati. He's saying that only by the mercy of the spiritual master will one attain the highest destination of Vrindavan. Only with Guru Kripa or Guru Agya or permission can one reside in Vrindavan. Only by the mercy and blessings of Guru can one attain Nitya Vrindavan or Bhoma Vrindavan and spiritual perfection of Prema. This rather is the highest religious principle, to please the Guru. This is supported everywhere in all Shastras. There is no one greater or more significant or important in a Jiva's life than the Guru. He's more important and more significant in a Jiva's life than Krishna or Ram or Vishnu. Krishna says in 11th canto of Bhagavatam, Uddhava Gita, Acharya mam vijaniyan, navamanyate karichit. The Acharya is me. He's my Kripa Shakti Murti. You want the mercy of God? Oh God, oh Bhagavan, Kripa Karo, Bhagavan, Kripa Karo. Oh, we go to this Bhagavan and that Bhagavan and we pray for mercy. We go to Balaji, Venkateshwar, and we go to this famous Krishna, Rangaji and Jagannathji and all Gs, everywhere Gs. And we pray to all the lords of India. Mercy, mercy, mercy. and nothing happens. Maybe something happens, maybe not. But if you go the proper channel and go to the guru, as Krishna tells in Gita, go to my representative, the deity is here for your purification, and you get attached here and give some donations, dump off your black money here. I can digest it. Maybe some sadhu can't digest your black money. He'll get agitated or bad dreams. But the deities, Krishna can digest everything, digest the whole universe. So come here and give all your black money. So everyone goes to Balaji Venkateshwar and they go to this deity and they give all their black money, donation. And they get some punya, some benefit, some sukriti, obviously. But mercy, you want mercy? My Kripa Shakti Murti is a charja, charja manvijanayan, the guru, spiritual master. Tadvidi pranipatena, paripashnena sevaya. Krishna is telling Arjuna, surrender there, dedicate your life to him, not to the deity. Surrender there to the guru, not the deity. Give everything to the guru, not the deity. The guru is the deity. Guru Devatma, there's that verse in the Bhagavatam. Guru Devatma, one should consider the guru as very Atma. This is Uddhava Gita, Krishna speaking to Uddhava. Another verse is Guru Devatma. We read that verse once in class, remember? I don't remember what it was just now, but Guru Devatma, that one should think of the guru as his very Atma. Someone can say, well, why doesn't he think of the Paramatma as his very, the self of his self is a guru. At least in the words of Krishna, I'm only repeating Krishna's words, the guru is primary, and the highest religious principle is to find a proper bona fide guru and surrender to him and serve him with life and soul. One should never envy, Krishna says, one should never envy the guru thinking him an ordinary man, for he's a representative of all the demigods. That means the guru is representative of Shiva, Brahma, Durga, Lakshmi, everyone, all the, not exactly Lakshmi, but all the demigods. Guru Devatma. I don't see it. I don't know if it's in Prabhupada's books per se. I don't see it just now. Oh yeah. 11th canto, chapter 2, verse 37. Guru Devatma. Guru Devat Atma. One who sees his own spiritual master as his Lord and very soul. King Kavi Yogendra, this is the teachings of the Navayogendras. 11th canto. Vayam dvitiya bhinivesita syad ishada petasya viparyayo smriti tanmaya yato buddha abhijet tam patyaika yesham guru deva tatma. Vayam, fear arises from duality when we see something other than the Lord. Why? Because abhinivesh, and we say, the Griha Vesh, what do you say? Griha Pravesh, Abhinivesh. Because of absorption, illusory energy. When the living entity turns away from the Lord, Apetasya, then he, Viparya, Asmriti, he becomes upside down. When he turns away from the Lord, Krishna Bahirmukh, he forgets his own constitutional position as Krishna's servant, Asmriti, Viparyamo Asmriti. Tanmayato Buddha Abhijetam. This bewildering, fearful condition is called Maya. Intelligent persons should engage in the service of the Lord under the guidance of the Guru, and one should accept his Guru as his worshipful deity and as his very life and soul. And the word for word it says Abhijet. Like bhaj means worship. Abhajet, one should worship fully the Guru with bhaktya, ekaya, unalloyed. Let me say ananya bhakti. Ananya bhakti or eka. Ekaya, unalloyed bhakti for Isha, for the Lord, who is represented by the Guru. Guru Devata Atma. Guru Devata Atma. One who sees his own spiritual master as his Lord and very soul. So that's the most useful principle. Whereas in his translation, Prabhupada Saraswati said, service the Guru, that's useless. Just move to Vrindavan. That's really religious principles. Yes, it's a true religious principle if you're moving to Vrindavan under the order of your spiritual master, in the service of your spiritual master and Krishna. There's another translation we can read also. Let me get a different flavor of that one. Do everything that opposes religious principles. That sounds encouraging for all the Diablos and the audience. Reject all religious duties and abandon your order, abandon your guru in order to reside in Vrindavan. This is your supreme religious duty. This is devotion to your guru. Your sins are whatever stops you from residing in Vrindavan. So if you're serving your guru in Delhi, then that's a sin. That's stopping you from residing in Vrindavan. So obviously one cannot understand the Shastras without guru. It's impossible to understand the Shastras. One will get misconception, misunderstanding. And in the name of Dharma, he'll do adharma. In the name of doing the right thing, he'll do the wrong thing. In the name of going back to Godhead, he'll go back to doghead. In the name of becoming godly, he'll become dogly. So this is a good example of needing a guru to understand. I read it in the book. I don't need a guru. I get all the books. I have all the tapes and books. I don't need a guru. All right. What you'll get, I don't know. You got all the tapes and books. Yes, I agree. You have all the tapes and books. But have you realized God, or you're engaged in an unalloyed devotional service of Bhagavan Sri Krishna?
No.
But I have all the books and all the tapes. Guru is the key to the treasury of knowledge. Well, these particular verses are about the category of everything is attainable here in Vrindavan. All is attainable here, everything. 77. Bratak samastanyapi saranani vihaya Vrindavanam ashrayasya yata tata prakatara vasana vashat sharira vani vidyam vacheshtam. It is extremely difficult to give up one's material desires. Well, we can say amen to that. Ditto, no one's going to disagree with that. It is extremely difficult to give up one's material desires. Therefore, brata, the Sanskrit word brata, interestingly enough, means brother. Many Sanskrit words sound like English words. Mata means mother, and mata mater, very similar. Pita, paternal means father, paternal, maternal, mother and father. Brata. Hey, brata, what's up? It's extremely difficult to give up one's material desires. Oh, brother, reject all varieties of sadhana and take shelter of Sri Vrindavan. Let the waves of material desires accumulated throughout your previous lives remain within your body, mind, and speech. By the glorious qualities of Vrindavan Dham, the fruits of all sadhana will automatically be obtained, and you will attain ecstatic love of God. Again, this is the category of everything is attainable in Vrindavan. Obviously, there's the explicit meaning and the implied meaning, explicit and implicit. So externally, there's one meaning here. But the rishis, the great writers of literature, Sahitya and Kavi, they use a technique, the Vaishnava writers, called Parokshavad. Paroksha Vad. Vad means speech, talking. Ramananda Samvad, the talks between Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Rai Ramananda on Bhakti Tattva, Siddhanta. Paroksha Vad is indirect speech, where there's a meaning, there's a different meaning inside than what is said. It's covered. The actual intention or meaning is covered. So one needs to have some perception and some insight by virtue of his own devotional advancement or the blessings of others. Enlightened acharyas who reveal the hidden meaning and true meaning of the shastras and their enlightened tikas, commentaries. Basically, in this verse, for example, he's saying that Vrindavan has glorious qualities. And if you come here, you should come to Vrindavan and do sadhana. Do very serious sadhana bhakti, Vaidhi sadhana and Raghunuga sadhana. And you, just by staying in Vrindavan and doing sadhana, you'll get 100 times the benefit, 1,000 times the benefit. And automatically you'll attain ecstatic love of God. This will come. I believe there's some verses missing here, because the translation does not match these two paras, dui para. Prakatana vasana vashat shariravani riryam vacheshitam. I think Vrindavana ashraya vihaya saranani. So he's saying, listen, brothers, it is difficult to give up material desires. And you can stay outside of Vrindavan and perform sadhana, bhakti. But it won't get the same effect, because Vrindavan is Vrindavan. It's the Dham, it's the holy Dham, it's the living energy, it's the personified form of Lord Krishna. This Dham, these 12 forests are the whole Braj Mandal, the lotus of Braj, the Braj Mandal is the personal form of Krishna's transcendental body. And that's described in one of the Puranas, how this forest is Krishna's head and these are his legs and his whole body is here and all his leelas are here, and Krishna himself is eternally residing in Vrindavan. He never takes a step out of Vrindavan. Vrindavana pratyajat ekam padam nagachati. So living in Vrindavan means living with God, sakshat, knowingly or unknowingly. And living with God is powerful. You become powerfully blessed or powerfully condemned. So in Vrindavan you get 1,000 times the benefit for whatever good you do, and 1,000 times the punishment for whatever bad or transgressions you do. And therefore he's saying it's practically automatic, because if you live with God, it's practically automatically understood you'll get success. Just like if you move in and live with Bill Gates or some billionaire and become his associate, or at least living in his house with him, and after some time, maybe not very much time, you may end up with a lot of money. He may think, well, you're a nice guy. What do you need? Oh, I need a few $1,000,000. Okay, take $20 million. And practically automatically, you got $20 million just by being in proximity of that billionaire. So it happened basically automatically. He didn't really do anything, although you somehow had the fortune of living with him and having some association, interaction. So the fortune to live in Vrindavan, have association, interaction here, is having the fortune to live here and have the association and contact of Vrindavan. It's practically automatically guaranteed that one will attain ecstatic love of God. Now, this sounds too good to be true, but it is. It's true. It's automatic, provided some conditions are there. One condition is that one doesn't make any aparad. There are 10 offenses to the holy name. There's 10 offenses to the holy Dham of Vrindavan, or Navadvip Jagannath Puri. And one of them is to offend the pilgrims that visit there, or the residents there. Even the yatris that come for a day or two or a week or a month, to offend them is a great offense to Vrindavan itself and to Radha and Krishna themselves. Because the Dham is Radha and Krishna. So an offense to the Dham, an offense to the Dham Vasis, or any of these 10 offenses is a direct offense against Radha and Krishna and against Bhakti Devi. So it's very deleterious. So then the results will be prolonged or detained. One will not automatically get the result of ecstatic love because of the presence of offenses. So one must be offense-free, nirapradhi. And he must be desirous of that. There was three requirements to get the benedictions, remember? In order to get the benefits of any great situation of from Shastric stories or Vratas or Tapasyas or Vas, living in Vrindavan, Kartik Vrata, or reading particular Shastras or chanting different stotis and stotrams, three conditions must be met by that sadhaka living in Vrindavan, for example. Vrindavan is so powerful, but one must be a nirapradhi, as I said, and he must be ek icha. He must have one desire. All right, it may be difficult to give up one's material desires, and as Prabhupada Saraswati is saying, there may be waves of material desires. Wave. How many waves? Why is it using waves? Waves are on the ocean. Everyone's been to the ocean. Now, the feature of the ocean is that the waves never stop. They're always moving. You can never go to the ocean and see no waves. Waves are, if the ocean, as long as the ocean is there, the waves are there. They're inseparable. Ocean means waves, waves means ocean. So waves means forever. One after the other after the other. Ceaselessly. Therefore, he's saying, let waves of material desires accumulated throughout previous lives remain in your body, mind, and speech. So this means that our minds and our bodies continually, one after the other, so many material desires will be crashing on our mind. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Like the waves crashing on the beach. 1,000 a day, 1,000 a day, 1,000,000, a lakh a month, 1,000,000 a year. I'll forget of it, never mind. Just live in Vrindavan, do bhajan, do sadhana. But don't be an aparadhi. And fix this desire. Now, okay, you're in Vrindavan, and all these waves are crashing on your mind, and so many thousands, thousands, unlimited desires keep coming. And it's very difficult to give them up. But do bhajan, do nam bhajan, bhakti bhajan. And take tight shelter of Vrindavan and the Brijvasi sadhus and satsang, and serving Vrindavan and serving Brijvasis, and cultivate one desire, Krishna Anukulya. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Cultivate only the desire for pure bhakti. Everywhere pray for pure bhakti. O Krishna, please, I only want pure love of God. Please bless me with Brajabhav, Gopikabhav. I don't want anything else. All I want is pure love of God. I want to be your eternal loving servant in Vrindavan. I don't want any other. So many waves are coming. I'm not riding these waves. I'm not swimming in these waves. They're crashing, but I'm not entering that ocean. I'm sitting on the beach and these waves are crashing on my head. But I'm sitting here on the beach of Vrindavan, and the waves of desire are crashing on my head. But I'm only desiring this. I want to be your eternal loving servant, Radharani. O Shyam, O Radha, I want to be your eternal loving servant. That's it. Save and accept this, I want nothing. I have no other desire. That's called ekicha. Ekicha nirapradhi. And then Shraddha. Shraddha. This means Shastriya Shraddha. Shastriya Shraddha. This is the foundation of Raganuga Bhajan. Shastriya Shraddha. Intense belief and confidence. Love, trust and confidence and belief in the words of Shastra. The Prabhupada Saraswati and the Acharyas, the Mahajan Acharyas, Gaudiya Vaishnava Mahajans, that faith in their words and that belief in what Rupa Goswami says, He says at the end of this prayer, Gandharvaka, Gandharva, Gandharvastakam, if anyone chants this prayer, then very soon he'll have darshan of Radharani and associating with her beloved Shyam. Many boons and great fantastic benedictions are giving in various stutis and stotras. Or in our Vrindavan Mahimamrita, Saraswati Pad is telling us that automatically you'll attain ecstatic love of God, just live here. Such is the glorious qualities of Vrindavan. But we must believe that. We must believe in the qualities of Vrindavan. We must believe in the power and mercy of Vrindavan. Fully. Well, maybe it's true. Oh, it works with you. Yeah, it works with you. You're an advanced devotee. Oh, it doesn't work with me. It won't happen to me. It happened once 150 years ago. Somebody became a siddha in Vrindavan. But no one becomes siddha anymore. Everyone's siddha in Bengali also means boiled potato. The word siddha sabji means boiled potato. So everyone's a boiled sabji now, siddha, boiled potato. Potato. No one becomes siddha. That was the last siddha was, I read about him in Obiel Kapoor's book, and it was 1870, and this is not the truth. There were siddhas in 1470 and 1570 and 1970 and 2070 and 3070. Vrindavan is called Siddhabhumi, Siddhabhumi. And Mayapur is called Sadhanabhumi. Jagannathpuri is called Bhogabhumi. No, I'm joking. That's where Jagannath enjoys Chapan Bhog. Jagannathji enjoys Chapan Bhog in Puri. And sometimes we get his remnants. The other day someone came to visit us. We don't know who, but they left a package. And the message was, this is Jagannath Prasad. We opened it up and said, Jai Jagannath. I don't know who left it. Doesn't matter. But I honored all the Prasad. That's what matters. So that's a good policy. Don't meet anybody, but get all the mercy. Very good policy. Let's read another translation of this verse 77 from chapter 17. Oh, brother! I think this is more to the what's on the page there. Oh, brother, give up all your spiritual practices and take shelter of Vrindavan. As you desire, so your body, words, and heart will act. As you desire, so your body, words, and heart will act. Well, that's what we say. Thinking, feeling, willing. Chintana means thinking. Then bhavana, feeling, and acting is karya. Chintana, bhavana, karya. Thinking, feeling, and willing. If you don't think about something, you can't desire it. By thinking about something and associating with something, you develop a desire. Then when you desire that thing and keep thinking about it, then you start developing strong feelings behind that desire. Then you want to express those feelings by proper activity, or by activity which will fulfill your desire. He's saying that give up all your spiritual practices and take shelter of Vrindavan. Now, this can also be taken to mean, he's not saying give up your bhakti bhajan. Because bhakti bhajan is not a spiritual practice. Bhakti bhajan is jiva dharma. Bhakti bhajan is the eternal dharma of the atma, of the soul. It is not a practice, it is perfection. Bhakti is eternal. And Bhakti Dham, Sri Dham, Vrindavan, everyone is doing bhakti, but it's not a sadhana, it's not a practice. It's an expression of love. Bhakti means to express love. Bhakti means devotion. Devotional service means pleasing Krishna with a variety of activities. Loving service. That's just Vrindavan. This is the spiritual world. So no one's doing sadhana there. No one's doing a spiritual practice there. So when he's saying give up spiritual practices, if you're doing some... Because yoga, anything that's Vedic, any Gyan Yoga, Karma Yoga, or let's say Gyan Yoga or this other kinds of mystic yoga, Ashtanga yoga, they're spiritual practices, but they aren't bhakti. Although bhakti is called a sadhana, bhakti is eternal. We practice bhakti sadhana, which is not pure bhakti, is to bring us to the pure bhakti platform. Then pure bhakti no longer becomes a sadhana, no longer becomes a practice, it becomes the natural flow of the heart, becomes a natural activity of the liberated, purified soul. Jivara Surupaya Krishna or Nitya Das. So that Nitya Das, that eternal servant of the Lord, is eternal loving servant. So bhakti is an expression of love. It's not a sadhana. So when he's saying give up all spiritual practices, it's not saying, he doesn't mean give up bhakti. Because you can never give up bhakti. Because bhakti is nitya. Our sarup is bhakti. The sarup, it says, jivara surupaya krishnara nitya das. When we say das, that means bhakti. Dasya bhakti. Dasya bhakti, and of course it takes different shapes. Dasya bhakti, the house servants are servants, the friends are servants, the parents are servants, the lovers are servants, everyone's a servant, the trees are servants. Everyone in Vrindavan is in seva bhav and serving according to Sakya Rati or Madhura Rati or Vatsalya Rati or Dasya Rati. This can also be understood. Give up all these non-eternal, these are not nitya. Sanatan Dharma means bhakti. This is Sanatan Dharma, bhakti, that which gives eternal connection with the Lord through bhakti, devotion. So this is another glorious quality of Vrindavan. And verse 86 is also discussing this same point, same chapter. Daivi bhak pratishe dini bhavatu me siddhva gurunam giram. Sheni shastravidami hastu bahuda yakopi kolahala. Kolahala. Tyaktva sadhya sarana jatam akilam lagnantu me radhika. Krita kanana vasa sampadi manag. Vyavavartate no mana. Now, this is about everything's attainable Vrindavan. Even if an Akashvani, a voice from the sky, forbids me, even if my guru forbids me, even if the scriptures raise a commotion and repeatedly bar me from residing Vrindavan, still I will not leave Vrindavan even once. I will give up all religious practices and the results and simply live in Vrindavan, which is a place of Sri Radha's pastimes. Radhika Krita. It's actually Radhika's pastimes. The pastimes that Krita, Radhika Kriya Kananavas. Radhika's eternally residing, enjoying pastimes. She's eternally residing in the Braja Kanana, in the forest of Vrindavan, enjoying Rasa Krita. Radhika Krita Kananavas. Radhika's eternally living in the forest of Vrindavan, enjoying Rasa Krita. Rasa Krita is another name for Rasa Lila. It's also called Rasa Krita. Rasa Krita. The beautiful pastimes of the Rasa dance. So Radharani, this is her place. So this is the way to live in Vrindavan, to be fully connected with Radha, and always meditating on her pastimes. He's saying he wants to live in Vrindavan, which is the place of Radhika's pastimes. Radhika Kriya. Radhika Kriya Kananavas. Radhika Krita Kananavas. Kananavas. So he's not only saying, I want to live in Vrindavan, but I want to live in Vrindavan in the Leela Stalis of Radha. And that implies living in Vrindavan and the Leela Stalis of Radha and meditating on the pastimes of Radha and meditating on the form and activities of Radha and desiring to render service to Radharani in those forest pastimes of Rasa Krita. This is what he's saying. And if anything forbids me, then the hell with it. I'm going to do this. But to be able to do that, to be able to live in Vrindavan and be able to fix one's mind on Radha's pastimes and her Leela Stalis, then one must have already received lots of blessings from Shastra and lots of blessings from the spiritual master and got internal and external confirmation of his desired ambition from an Akashvani or the voice in the sky or the voice in the sky of the heart. There's also the sky of the heart. In the sky of the heart resides the Paramatma. So that's also Akashvani, the sky of the heart space. And the heart space, or the sky of the heart, the Paramatma speaks to the purified soul. And he says, go to Vrindavan. Go to Vrindavan. Go to Vrindavan. And the person wakes up. What was that? I heard some voice. Was I dreaming? I heard something. So this is also, but this is what he's really saying, that I will hear in the sky, even the sky will be telling me go to Vrindavan. And the spiritual master will be telling me to go to Vrindavan. And the scriptures I read will be encouraging me to go in Vrindavan. And the scriptures I read, they will encourage me to never leave Vrindavan. And the scriptures I read will encourage me to be completely pure in my practices of devotion. This is what he's saying. Many people may obviously misconstrue his statements, but generally, whenever they describe this book, they say that these are the ecstatic outpourings of Prabodhananda Saraswati when he's in internal consciousness. In other words, he doesn't know what he's saying. So it doesn't, at one level, doesn't make sense. It doesn't sound correct even. Forget about your guru. Forget about the scriptures. So, guru shastra chakshus? Guru chakshus. Oh, forget about that. Just reside in Vrindavan. But obviously what he's stressing here is that residence in Vrindavan means to be absorbed in the service of Radha and Krishna. And to be absorbed in the service of Radha and Krishna, it's impossible to be absorbed in the service of Radha and Krishna without the mercy of Sri Guru and without the mercy of the Shastras. Bhakti is the same, whether you get it directly from Radharani or you get it from anyone. But Bhakti has different varieties, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't talk about Vaikuntha Bhakti and Vraja Bhakti. And we wouldn't have a book like Brihad Bhagavatamrita analyzing the repositories and presentations of different levels of devotion, pure devotion. So the eternal associates, if the devotee, because bhakti is unlimited, because it's transcendental, so as much as one has realized the full beauty of devotion and the full experience of devotion according to his, say, stairati, that's how much that he can convey to someone else. So an eternal associate of the Lord, he is Sarup Shakti. Eternal associates of the Lord are the Sarup Shakti of the Lord. So they have full endowment of Ladini Shakti and full endowment of Sandini Shakti. So with this Ladini and Sandini Shakti, they can implant this bhakti very profoundly and deeply in the heart of the jiva, to the extent of immediately giving him bhava. You can get bhava. Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma. The Vishuddha Sattva potency comes down as Samvit and Ladini, which means Sandini also, because it gets established. Sandini means it gets established in the heart of the jiva. So getting initiated by Nichiparishad and a Madhyamadikari is quite a bit different. Quite a bit different. Because a Madhyam is not, it's like the sun at 12 o'clock, the sun at 7, at 6 o'clock is the same sun as at 12 o'clock. You agree? 6 a.m.? It's a sun planet, it's the sun, but the intensity is much greater when it's overhead at 12 o'clock. It will burn you. It's so penetrating and forceful. So the more advanced the devotee in the bhakti marg and realize and how much the ingress of bhakti has come in his heart. Because he's a madhyam, either he's, it's, when you say madhyam, you're not qualifying it. Is he a kanishtha that became a madhyam, or is he an uttam that's acting as a madhyam to preach? Because an uttam bhakti may be a bhava bhakti. An uttam bhakta may be a bhava bhakta, or he may be a premi bhakta. So he's carrying that same energy of the Nityaparishads because he received it from them. That's why he has bhava, because it has descended into his heart from their hearts. So he's an equal representation of their potency and brilliance and their transforming effect. He may step down to be a madhyam. You didn't say what kind of madhyam that was. It's a kanishtha coming to madhyam, then he's madhyam. And he has some condensed bhakti and some attachment, but he doesn't have bhava and prema. So that brilliance, there's some light is there. He's giving light. He's giving direction and light to others. An inspiration. He's giving bhakti, he's giving devotion. But it is some rays. It is not the full sunshine of the noonday sun.